Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The Roger Deakins Photography Exhibition, I'm reading now, is an expansive curated selection of 41 portraits and landscapes from Deakins' personal collection. This is the cinematographer of so many of the great movies that you have come to know and love. A friend of mine who is a publicist and worked on Shawshank Redemption reminded me cinematographer Roger Deakins earned his very first Academy Award nomination for Shawshank in 1995. He would not win the Oscar until his 14th nomination, wow, for Blade Runner 2049 in 2018, and currently ranks as the second most nominated cinematographer with 16 nominations. He is the only cinematographer in Hollywood history to earn an Oscar nomination for a James Bond film. I asked you off the air if you knew all of this. Did you know all of this?
I didn't really think about it. You know, the James Bond mention, yeah, I didn't really think about that. But it's strange, isn't it?
James Deakins is also sitting next to you, your wife and work partner, a business manager. What would you say your role is in the collaboration that the two of you have?
Well, we basically do everything together.
Yeah.
I do a lot of the business, but when we're shooting together, a sounding board, I'm dealing with production, visual effects, the digital workflow. It's just everything.
I always operate the camera, so it's really nice to have James there, so I can just concentrate on looking through the camera and she deals with all the other stuff that goes on.
What does a cinematographer do?
Well, that's a good question, but it varies from film to film, you know, because directors demand very different things from their cinematographer, you know. There are directors that will have said to me, I just want to concentrate on the performances and the script, and I'm going to leave the shooting to you. And then there are other directors like Joel and Ethan who are very specific about their approach, and they storyboard everything, and we always do weeks and weeks of prep. You know,
does it bother you if somebody's micromanaging you that way? That's my word, micromanaging. But I wonder if you would rather determine what the composition of the shot's going to be.
No, I like the collaboration. And I got to say, with Joel and Ethan, it's always been a collaboration.
What are the movies that Joel and Ethan is involved in? You said, oh, Joel and Ethan. Yeah, the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Is there a movie that you have enjoyed working on the most then?
With them?
Well, with anybody. Yeah, I was just looking at your IMDb, yeah. And I thought, oh, my God, these are such visually interesting, fun, exciting movies. Some of them, say a James Bond movie, and then something like Fargo is quite different. But I wonder.
Yeah. I think you remember them for different reasons. I mean, 1984 was one of the first movies I shot. And that stands out for all sorts of reasons, and not only because of the content, you know, but the actors I was working with for the first time, working in big sets for the first time, working with a big crew for the first time. So, you know, that stands out very much. But on the other hand, you mentioned Fargo or something like the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. The very different way of working on location and reacting to what's around you in the environment. You know, so each film has a different memory for me, really.
I can imagine.
Each film is so different also, the approach, because it also depends on the director, because each director has their own way of communicating as well as their own vision.
And that whole chemistry of the director and the actors and the crew all coming together and molding something together. I mean, when it works, it's kind of wonderful. When it doesn't work, it can be difficult.
That's the other thing, too, that people don't seem to realize is each film is a different collection of crew. So it's always going to be a different experience.
It's slightly different experience, yeah.
Would I be surprised then how organic the process is? How, hey, look at that scene, or look at the light right now, or how about if you do that quick, we'll film that. I wonder if there's some of that, or is it all very meticulously planned in advance?
My preference and why I've loved working with Joel and Ethan over the years is they do an immaculate amount of planning, but then they're always open to what happens on the day. And I think that's the trick, really, because otherwise, if you just plan and do everything by rote, then it becomes a bit mechanical and a bit forced. So I think you always want to be open to that spontaneity of the moment, whether it's the light or, you know, something can go wrong and you have to react to it and make do with what you have, which is exciting.
Well, speaking of them, though, in the movie Fargo, you have some very exciting violent scenes. A colleague of mine just sent me a clip from the chipper scene in Fargo. Did you know that was going to come up?
Yeah, it's very violent, but it's also kind of very funny, which is their trick, isn't it, really?
What's that?
Well, their trick is to show you something that is kind of real, but and sometimes violent and make you feel uncomfortable. But it's also kind of funny, you know, because humanity is kind of weird, aren't they?
Well, that movie does straddle that line about as well as anybody.
Yeah,
you go, oh, my God, that's terrible. It's really funny. I'm enjoying this. And if anybody ever deserved to go through a wood chipper, it's Steve Buscemi, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
There you go. But then that movie also has some very pastoral, just bleak scenes, very patient scenes where we pan the frozen landscape. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, I say that I think in that film, the landscape is a character in itself in a way, you know. Yeah. And I think often, you know, the guys, Joel and Ethan, will sort of pull back and observe the human beings as tiny little figures in this huge landscape. And it's just kind of a way of showing their presence in something much larger.
At the Athenaeum Theater, there's an exhibition of your still photography. Now, these aren't shots that you took from the movie sets, are they?
No.
What are we seeing there?
I wanted to be
shouldn't be a painful question.
Yeah, it is really a painful question. When I left art college, I wanted to be a photojournalist. I wanted to be a photographer, really. I admired people like Tim Page and all the great war photographers, frankly. And then I just gradually segued into movies. But I've always taken stills. So during the pandemic, James said, well, let's see if we can get a book together. So we actually James and our agent found this publisher in Italy, Damiani, and we published a book of my photographs called Byways. And from that has come these sort of exhibitions. People have suggested putting on an exhibition.
So these photographs go back to 1971?
Yes. 71,
yeah. So decades worth of your stuff. So you weren't taking new pictures. You were culling through, I would have presumed, thousands of photographs, huh?
No, I mean, it's a different process when I'm taking photographs. I can go for weeks and only take one frame.
You know, nice.
It's like street photography.
Everybody with a phone now.
Yeah, right. I don't do that. I just kind of, something grabs me and I take a picture. Otherwise, I'll just wait.
You know? But I have to take a break, but just at least preview for us one of the pictures. We're trying to sell the exhibition here, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
So preview for us a picture or two. That I'll ask the two of you to paint that picture for us just on the radio. We're visiting with James and Roger Deakins, Team Deakins, they go by, and you know his work as the cinematographer for so many great movies. We keep bringing up Shawshank Redemption, but I just want to mention this listener who wrote, how could your guest not win Best Cinematographer for Shawshank? That has been the most beautifully shot film I've ever seen. It's been the top of my list for 30 years now. And in everybody, so that movie is never not in the top 10 of greatest movies of all time. You must take great pride and satisfaction in that.
It's really nice, but how can you really judge when a movie is going to be successful or not? I mean, when Shawshank first came out, it bombed at the box office completely, so go figure.
I saw what it did. I think it was $17 million. The domestic was $17 million. Dollars.
But they re-released it, so it was twice to make 17.
And then eventually video sales and rentals and word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And now, and I think TBS had the rights to it for a while, so it was on TV a lot.
Yeah.
And now I don't know many people who haven't seen or don't revere it. Mm. But about your So there is, at the Athenaeum Theater, I just want to mention this. Let me get all of the details in front of me again. But you're giving a talk, there's a couple of screenings, and there's an exhibition of 41 portraits and landscapes that you have collected over the years. So tomorrow, October 17th, from 7 to 9:30, there's a film screening of The Man Who Wasn't There, the 2001 film. Then Friday on the 18th, from 7 to 9, a public exhibition opening. Complimentary admission, but advance tickets are required. Space is limited. Go to AthenaeumCenter.org. On Sunday, there's a film screening of Shawshank, and you'll talk to Richard Roper. I don't know if you've met Richard, but he's terrific. If you want to find out more or get in line online right now, go to AthenaeumCenter.org.
There's also a book signing.
And let me find that in my list here. But so about the book, the exhibition is how many photographs?
It's 40-odd.
41, I think.
I think we're going to add a few in the next few days. Yeah. But 40-odd. They're not all from the book because I've taken a lot since the book was published. So there's a few new ones there. But they're just I've never called myself a photographer. So it's quite amazing having an exhibition of photographs and people calling me a photographer.
But says here 41 portraits and landscapes, but maybe you'll add one or two or whatever. But so what? Give me a picture.
Well, they're just various things from over the years. From in the early 1970s, I was working in Devon in England and photographing country life. So there's a series of photographs of farming life. And there's a lot of photographs of the English seaside because that's where I was brought up and that's where I love. So when we go back to England, I'll kind of spend days or weeks wandering around different seaside towns.
What kind of camera do you use?
I've been using a Leica for the last 10, 20 years, I guess, because it's really simple. I don't like...
Digital or are you using film?
I'm now shooting digital, I was shooting film.
That's not a compromise?
I don't find it a compromise, no.
Do you take pictures with your phone?
I do, but not the kind of pictures I'm talking about here. No.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for the folks who are taking pictures out there with one device or another?
I think just kind of really think about why you want to take that particular image. What does it mean to you? What draws you to that image?
We travel, and I was telling you off the air, we used to take hundreds and hundreds of pictures, and now I hardly take any. But I guess the reason I don't take pictures anymore is because I don't go back and look at them. Maybe I need to, in the moment, think what you just said. Is that important to you? Why? And then try and capture that.
Yeah, otherwise you end up with what you're saying. You end up with thousands of images, and when are you ever going to look at them? Let's be honest.
Yeah. We get those then feedback loops from our phone with music where they get a montage.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
But I think somebody else can always take a better picture of the canals of Venice or something like that. I mean, I think it's only you can take something that's personal to you.
It's been done before, yeah. Well, and in fact, to be clear, this book that's coming out in this exhibition at the Athenaeum Center is not movie shots. It's not behind the scenes movies. It's none of that, right?
No, none of that. It's just my personal little idiosyncratic ideas of images that I like.
But I do also like the idea that there will be two film screenings and a talk, and then there's a book signing as well.
Yeah.
All of the details at AthenaeumCenter.org. Just one last thing about that. I was watching Skyfall, which that's your movie too, right? And there are some scenes in there where I wondered if that was digital or actually happened. Riding a motorcycle chase across the roofs of buildings, crashing through windows and things like
that. Yeah, we shot that. A lot of that was shot with a stunt double in Istanbul.
That's really somebody zipping across.
Yeah, they had to reinforce the parapets and on that mosque.
I can imagine. So then as the cinematographer, when people are, say, racing across, I wonder who has more pressure, the director, the actor, the stunt driver, or the guy who, after everybody does their job, has to capture it. Do you think about that? Is that a consideration for you?
It's a very stressful job, yes.
Is it?
Especially, it used to be more stressful when you were shooting film, because I would constantly wake in the middle of the night thinking, did I get that? Did I mess up the exposure?
Oh, because you
haven't
seen it yet.
Did we do it justice? Yeah, because you're waiting for a lab report in the morning or waiting to go and see it yourself in the morning. But now you've got a monitor on set and everybody knows if you've got it or not. So it's a little less stressful.
I suppose it could happen where, though, maybe the framing wasn't right or something else appeared in it that we don't like. And if you can't fix that in post-production,
yeah,
back it all up and do it over again.
Yeah, yeah. We had one stunt in Skyfall where this underground train crashes through the roof of a Victorian sort of underground area. And we had 11 cameras on it, and this, a second take would have taken days to re-rig. We got it in one take,
yeah,
which is pretty amazing
that.
For the stunt that it was. I mean, it was a hell of a stunt.
It also just is a marvel. In fact, I saw a discussion from some of the actors talking about the detail that goes into some of the setting. And I wonder, as a cinematographer, do you care that much about the fact that in this scene, through the window, there's another building where there's some other people that are staged, and we might see them for a second, we might not notice it. I wonder how much you appreciate or worry or wonder about that.
Oh, yeah, it's all those details are so important, because even if you're not, you don't really feel consciously aware of them as a viewer, that's all affecting the way you take in the scene in front of you. I would say, you know, that was even more crucial when we shot film. And I think it's kind of sad now because some people don't do it on the day and they say, well, we'll put that in digitally later. And I feel that's sad, you know.
Well, Roger Deakins would feel that way because
he would.
You're the man that has made a career out of capturing those moments and those scenes. And now he's captured all of these photographs and portraits and landscapes, and they are at the Athenaeum Center. If you go to athenaeumcenter.org, you can find out about the book signing, about the two movie screenings, about the talk, and about the exhibition itself. It's just a great pleasure to have the two of you in our studio today. Congratulations on the body of work. Thank you for the body of work. And I'm anxious to see the photographs as
Thank
well.
Thank you. I hope you come and enjoy it. Yeah, and I hope everybody else does. It's on for a few months, so plenty of time, too.
Lucky us that they're in town and in our studio.